Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, January the 9th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for how you have taught us in the past, and we recognize your love and affection towards us as you continue to guide day by day. We ask that today you will show us the way and allow us to follow you closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we continue to take a look at the subject Great Tribulation, Part 3. The subject again, Great Tribulation, Part 3. And we'll be reading Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 12. Beginning at Mark chapter 13 and verse 9, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Well, today we continue to take a look at that document that we have been investigating. It's called the American State Papers, Bearing on Sunday Legislation. And we've been taking a look at this in our past few sessions. We will continue to take a look at that today. And remember, it was compiled by William Addison Blakely, and written back in 1911. Here's how we continue today. It was Sunday legislation which plunged Europe into the Dark Ages and the Inquisition. And this is where it will lead the world again today, if it starts once more on this backward road. Now, I found that particular paragraph rather compelling because it describes exactly what will be. Continuing it, under the subheading, Sunday Laws Correctly Represented, says this: "Already 47 of the 48 states in the Union have Sunday laws and are therefore backward states. And strenuous attempts are being made to swing the one remaining state not having a Sunday law into line. The one great object of the National Reform Association, the International Reform Bureau, the American Sabbath Union, the Church Federation, and all other like organizations is to secure religious legislation, not only in the states, but in the national government as well. Their work does not stop, and it is really the intent to succeed. They do not stop with an attempt to swing all the states backward, but they are also seeking to turn this nation backward by bringing about a union of church and state in this country. Work of this kind is being systematically carried on at the nation's capital in bringing influence and pressure to bear upon legislators with the hope of securing a national Sunday law that will give effect to the state Sunday laws." Now, let me remind you again, I'm reading from the document, which is called American State Papers, Bearing on Sunday Legislation. It was compiled by Blakeney, and it was published back in 1911. Now, of course, it's quite a large document, 800 plus pages. All right. Continuing. It is easy to see that when these religio-political reformers succeed in securing that for which they are so earnestly seeking, we shall have then erected in this country, the land of the free and the home of the brave, a veritable image to the religious establishment and ecclesiastical tyranny which existed in Europe in the Dark Ages. Now, of course, I want you to know that I have to keep repeating this so that you will understand. This is after the Constitution was established. The Constitution was established in 1787. It was approved by the 13 colonies. The 10 amendments were approved in 1791. So the concept of liberty of conscience or religious liberty was already established from a constitutional standpoint when these people were still pushing to turn this nation into a theocracy. Continuing the article, it says this: those who so nobly stood for freedom in the early days of this country saw that this would be the result if such principles were carried to their logical outcome. This is shown by the memorial of the Presbytery of Hanover in 1776, addressed to the General Assembly of Virginia. It states that the civil magistrate cannot attempt to adjudge the right of preference among the various sects that profess the Christian faith without erecting a chair of infallibility, which, if it says, would lead us back to the Church of Rome. Thus we see that the result of the movement represented by these so-called reform organizations will be to turn this nation backward. Now notice the writer, Blakeney, is making the point that we have come so far away. We've come all the way to this piece of geography. 1620, the Mayflower Landing. We've left behind the Inquisition of Europe. But now there are these people who are here. They want to take us back again. Continuing the article, it says, while we agree with the statement that the states which persecute those who in their religious practice may not be in accord with the majority are backward states, we cannot agree with Dr. R.C. Wiley, another prominent national reformer and champion of Sunday legislation, in his representation of the Sunday laws in the United States. In his book on Sabbath laws in the United States, by means of a map of the United States, he represents the states having the most rigid Sunday laws in pure and spotless white, those having Sunday laws weakened by exemptions and the like in shading, and the states that have no Sunday laws in black, as shown in the first of the accompanying cuts. This is indeed a most forcible illustration of the following words of inspiration: woe unto them that put darkness for light, and light for darkness. For as we have seen, all states which have Sunday laws are backward states, and hence should be represented by black and not white. History dominates as the Dark Ages, the days of which these backward states are symbolic. So the writer here is making the point that they made a map of all of the states that have Sunday laws, and they made the states with Sunday laws as white states, and those who had none as black states. And he's making the point it should be the other way around. For it is the light of Christ and the Word of God that should be symbolic to not having these Sunday laws. Continuing. So it would seem much more appropriate to represent to black the states having Sunday laws and those having no Sunday laws in spotless white, as in the second illustration. The making of Sunday laws is a substitution of the laws of men for the law of God. The exaltation by merely human authority of Sunday in the place of the Bible Sabbath is what God would not have had man do, but man did this. It is a matter of no little moment that this substitution has become so well-nigh universal, not only in the old world, but in America, the boasted land of liberty. It is high time that every loyal statesman and every Christian patriot should awaken and firmly take a stand against the encroachment that are being made upon the honor of the American nation and the commonwealths of this land by the zealous but misguided men who are seeking to turn this country backward to the darkness, the superstitions, and intolerance of medieval times. All right, so you're getting an idea as to what is happening here. And as I said before, this document was published in 1911. And of course, you know, the Constitution had been established and approved by the colonies in 1787. The 10 amendments had been approved by the colonies in 1791. But now these people are trying to take it back to the place where you have Sunday laws again. Now, in the article, there is a part of the writing that gives room for Alexander Campbell, who has a comment on Sunday enforcement. Now, Alexander Campbell was born on the 12th of September, 1788, and he died on the 4th of March, 1866. He was a Scottish-Irish immigrant who became an ordained minister in the United States and joined his father, Thomas Campbell, as a leader of a reform effort that is historically known as the Restoration Movement and by some as the Stone Campbell Movement. Here's what it says. There is not a precept in the New Testament to compel by civil law any man who is not a Christian to pay any regard to the Lord's Day more than to any other day. Therefore, to compel a man who is not a Christian to pay any regard to the Lord's Day more than any other day is without the authority of the Christian religion. The gospel commands no duty which can be performed without aid from God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But to compel men destitute of faith to observe any Christian institution, such as the Lord's Day, is commanding a duty to be performed without faith in God. Therefore, to command unbelievers or natural men to observe in any sense the Lord's Day is anti-evangelical or contrary to the gospel. So that's what Alexander Campbell is saying. And he says it should not be done. It should not be done at all. Spurgeon, and I'm sure you've heard that name before, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, born June the 19th, 1834, died the 31st of January, 1892. He was an English Particular Baptist preacher. Spurgeon remains highly influential among Christians of various denominations, among whom he is known as the Prince of Preachers. Here's what Spurgeon says about these Sunday laws. I'm ashamed of some Christians because they have so much dependence on Parliament and the law of the land. Much good may Parliament ever do to true religion, except by mistake. As to getting the law of the land to touch our religion, we earnestly cry, hands off! Leave us alone! Your Sunday bills and all other forms of Act of Parliament religion seems to me to be all wrong. Give us a fair field and no favor, and our faith has no cause to fear. Christ wants to help from Caesar. It should be afraid to borrow help from the government. It would look to me as if I rested on an arm of flesh instead of depending on the living God. Let the Lord's Day be respected by all means, and may the clay soon come when every shop shall be closed on the Sabbath. But let it be by the force of conviction and not by the force of the policeman. Let true religion triumph by the power of God in man's hearts and not by the power of fines and imprisonment. So what Spurgeon is saying is, this is awful. This is not the way to do this. Stop forcing men to worship, and stop forcing men to not work, and stop fining them for working, etc., etc. Now, most of the men who had come together back then and decided that Sunday laws were wrong gave a list as to why these laws were wrong. And I'm going to read a few of these items for you here. Why Sunday laws are wrong. Number one, because Sunday, as a day of rest, is a religious institution. Number two, because legislation in reference to a religious institution is religious legislation, and the passing of such laws is a long step towards the union of church and state. Number three, because as James Madison says, there is not a shadow of right in the general government to intermeddle with religion. Its least interference with it would be a most flagrant usurpation. Number four, because as expressed in the protest which gave rise to Protestantism, in matters of conscience, the majority has no power. Number five, because Sunday laws mean enforced idleness, and idleness fosters intemperance, vice, and all other crimes. It should not be done. Number six, because while frequently urging as temperance and other reform measures, their real and ultimate object is the compulsory observance of the day. Number seven, because although professedly in the interest of the laboring man, such laws really enslave all labor. The assumption of the right to forbid honor and honest labor on one day of the week involves the right to forbid or control it on any or all days of the week. Number eight, because as Neander informs us, they were the means through which church and state were united in the 4th century, and instead of preserving the Roman Empire, they contributed largely to its downfall. Number nine, because they interfere with the religious freedom even of those who regard Sunday as the Lord's Day. And number 10, because their whole tendency is to make men hypocrites instead of Christians. Now, that's just a brief list. Most of these preachers, most of these philosophers believe is the reason why there should not be Sunday laws. But the reason why I'm sharing this with you at all, and I'm going to say this now for the 4th time today, the country had already passed the Constitution in 1787, which included freedom of religion, liberty of conscience. It had already passed the 10 Amendments, which included liberty of conscience. But now there were men who were insisting on taking the nation back to Sunday laws. And of course, you and I both know that just taking the nation back to Sunday laws didn't end with just the obedience and the worship of Sunday, but it was a counter-reformation move, removing the reformer out of the heart and bringing him back to the power of Rome once more. And this is very important. And the point that I'm making here today is that these people were doing this while the Constitution existed. And I want you to know that the slow move towards that repetition in our day and in the day to come will come even though the Constitution will still pretend to provide us with liberty of conscience, but these restrictive laws will be put in place. And the interesting thing about that is that when you look at all of the laws that will be passed ultimately, none of the laws heretofore passed in any nation had anything other than worship. None of them included anything but worship for the Sunday legislation. And we're moving in a direction now where we're beginning to talk about climate change and and the destruction of the atmosphere of the earth, and you're getting some discussion from the Pope, Pope Francis, and he's talking about the fact that what we really need to have now is, he calls it a day of rest. He does not include worship, does not even include the concept of labor either at the moment. He is zeroing in on the land, zeroing in on the earth, but he is using the terminology, a day of rest. And you could easily see the direction in which he's heading here. There is the same group of individuals, the National Reform Association, today they call themselves the Lord's Day Alliance, that they have the exact same goal in mind. They feel that Sunday should be put aside as a day of worship, and as they put it, a day of rest. We are returning, as the writer of this document says, we're returning backward to what we used to be, back to the European inquisitorial environment where all of these laws were passed, restrictive laws passed. And you and I need to be ready for that. We have been warned in advance. We have been given the truth. And we will be tested. Are we going to be willing to stand and be tested? Do we know enough about what we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it? Today, I pray that God would help you, to strengthen me as we go forward day by day, as we prepare for what we see occurring around us, so that we might stand with him and for him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings that you provide each day. We thank you for the clarity of your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be prepared for that which is to come. As we look back to the past and we see how things worked out, we thank you for warning us of a repetition to come. And we ask that you would give us the endurance, the faith, and the strength to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been Morning Manna, January the 9th, 2021.